play there. It's time again for the Uncontainable Podcast. Kevin McCullough is my name. This is where we dig deep into the archives of some of the great teaching of our time. And for those of you that may not be as familiar with some of the voices, we give you them in little small bite-sized pieces, and hopefully they apply to things in your life, and hopefully you find new resources for your own day-to-day growth. And hopefully that's what this all stimulates, right, is a deeper understanding of who God is and why he loves us so much. Anyway, this week, it's an interesting topic because all three of our teachers touch on this idea of obedience and why this idea of obedience is important. Now, I've got kids 7, 5, and 3. I know why obedience is important in my house, but could there be more? We'll hear from Dr. Tony Evans, Dr. Greg Laurie, and Dr. Charles Stanley before we're all done. And we start with this very poignant observation from Dr. Tony Evans about the life of a very well-known Old Testament figure.
Many of us have a dried up faith. James puts it this way: faith without works is dead. He says in James chapter 2, verse 14, he talks about a useless faith. He talks about a faith that's not working. It's not active. It's dry. It's sterile. It's not producing anything. There's no life to it. You activate your faith by your works of obedience. It is the work of obedience that ignites the reality of faith so that you see the invisible enter into the visible, which is what faith does. It grabs the invisible and brings it into the visible. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says. Now remember, faith is not founded on how you feel. You can feel no faith and be full of faith. You can feel like you're full of faith and have no faith. Because faith is measured by foot traffic. It's measured by life, not lips, walk, not talk. It's measured by what you do. The Bible calls it walking by faith. It's movement. If there is no movement, you can shout, you can clap, you can scream, you can holler, you can flip a pew, and you have no faith. Because if the feet are not moving in the work of obedience to which God has commanded you, there is no faith. It doesn't come alive. And so the invisible is not seen in the visible. One of the great Old Testament illustrations is Noah. One verse is given to him in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And here's what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We're introduced to Noah as the illustration of faith at work. In Genesis 6, verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Verse 11 of Genesis 6, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. God talks to him, I'm going to destroy the world, and I want you to make a boat. Now, let me explain something. Hebrews 11, 7 says that Noah built an ark when he hadn't seen anything, meaning he'd never seen a flood. It hadn't rained up to this point because the earth was watered from underneath. So God is warning him about something he's never seen. He lives 100 miles away from an ocean. What in the world do you build a boat 100 miles from the water? You got to put the boat on. So let me give you a secret. Shh, don't tell nobody I told you this. When God is close enough to you to speak to you and what he tells you is weird, makes absolutely no sense, that means he getting ready to do something big. The weirder God gets in leading you, the bigger the thing is he's involved with. He's going to destroy the whole world. He tells Noah, build a boat on dry land, even though you've never seen rain, you don't know what a flood is, and trust me.
Well, sometimes trust in such circumstances seems almost absurd. Seems like something that we wouldn't be able to comprehend, much less be able to follow through on. And then when you go beyond that and you try to explain to people that don't understand who God is or what his relationship to you is really based on, it can be even, as Dr. Tony Evans pointed out, weirder. Dr. Greg Laurie says there's a reason why God asks us to obey through that act of trust. And it doesn't have anything to do with glorifying his sense of vanity. It has to do with what he thinks of us.
Without question, mankind is God's greatest creation. We're not a highly evolved animal, as some would say. No, we are uniquely made in the very image of God. I love what David wrote in Psalm 139, he said, "You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Listen to this. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." I hope that lays to rest the idea that the Bible would allow for abortion. The Bible does not give an unclear message on this topic. It's very clear in pointing out that life begins at conception, not merely at birth, as some would say. And even more, not only does life begin at conception, but God knows all about us even before we're conceived. And he has a plan for us that precedes our very conception and, of course, our birth. It was Jeremiah the prophet that said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 of the Lord, "You formed me in my mother's womb. Before I was born, you sanctified me. You ordained me to be a prophet to the nations." Yes, the man, the woman, human beings, we are God's masterpiece. And you just stop and think of the complexities of the human body. Just start with the nose. Did you know that you can recognize 10,000 different aromas? I think my wife can recognize 25,000. She has the most sensitized nose of any person I've ever met. She'll smell, something doesn't smell right here, you know. There have been times I've eaten something and she'll be take one bite, she'll go, "I think that whole thing was rancid." And I already ate all of it. See, this is her, you know, she just, so that's your nose. Okay, then our tongue has 6,000 taste buds. I think I lost 200 on the last pizza I ate. You know, I can't wait till a pizza cools down. Listen to this. Our brain contains 10 billion nerve cells, and each brain nerve cell is connected to as many as 10,000 other nerve cells to the body. Our body has so many blood vessels, their combined length could circle the planet 2.5 times. And God has created each of us with our own special DNA blueprint that's contained within every single cell. It's been estimated that if our individual blueprint were written in a book, it would require 200,000 pages. That's just your blueprint. That's not the blueprint of the person next to you. And of course, God knows every work on every page. Maybe one of God's most amazing gifts to us is memory. You have the capacity to store millions of bits of information, keep them in order, recall them when needed. Scientists tell us we never really forget anything. It's all stored in the data banks of memory. And according to Think Magazine, the human brain can store enough data to fill several million books. It's estimated that in a lifetime, a brain can store 1 billion bits of information. You're a masterpiece. You're unbelievable. The things that God has created you with, your capacity. But really the focus here now that Paul is giving to all of us is that in addition to being fearfully and wonderfully made physically, God has a custom designed work he wants to do in and through you.
When you think about the fact that he's the God of the universe, and when you understand the fact that he has a plan for you that is that specific, that's pretty awe-inspiring. That's pretty overwhelming. At least it is to me. I don't know if other people feel that way. And I see that more and more as I deal with the relationships of the people around me. And God calls us to obedience in how we deal with other people, how we speak to them, how we treat them, how we reinforce, even when we're raising kids, what we try to teach them. And it is in the understanding that his best is always what is wished for him and for the people that we touch because of him that we need to pay especially important attention to this. And when Dr. Charles Stanley was thinking about this very concept, he got very personal in his recent message.
I can remember the first time I ever got that message. I don't exactly know exactly how old it was. I have a pretty good idea. I was old enough to know better. But my mother was going to leave and go somewhere, and she wanted me to stay at home, and I didn't want to stay at home. And so I said something that was very, very, very unkind to my mom. She left anyway. She came back, and I was already worried about her coming back. And so she came back, and she said, "I love you." And she said to me, "I'd lay down my life for you." And she said, "You hurt me deeply. What you said hurt your mom deeply." And I think for the first time, and I never forgot it, I realized that I hurt my mother, not because she was my mom. I hurt her because she loved me so deeply. And you know what? Never. In all my years after that, I was just 6 or 7, something like that, I wouldn't have thought of saying anything that would hurt my mom. You know why? Because I loved her. And that day I felt her pain, even as a kid, that I'd hurt the person who let in their life in me. I never said an unkind word to her after that. I couldn't do enough for her. I loved her dearly. I grieved her spirit. I hurt her. And I had to think about later on in life, and many times I've thought about it. How many times have I grieved the heart of God? How many times have I done things that grieved his heart? Because my mother can only love me as a mother loves a son, which is a wonderful love. But Jesus loved me enough to go to the cross and took every sin I've ever committed and every one that I'll ever commit and never complained or said except, bore my sin debt absolutely in full because he loved me. There's no love to match that. And to think that I would sin against him, grieve his heart, cause him pain. He said, "Grieve not the Spirit of God." And that's what we do. Whether it's an act or a series of acts, we grieve his spirit. We hurt the God who loves us. And you know what? If you've ever loved anybody with all of your heart and they hurt you deeply, I don't have to explain or define the word grieve. It can be so deep and so overwhelming, there's no adequate explanation. And if I think about hurting someone else who is human versus hurting the absolute pure heart of God, what a difference it must be and how he must be hurt. He says, "If you love me, you will obey me." No substitutes. That's just the way he put it. You keep my word, keep my commandments. You'll do what I tell you because it's what's best for you. If you love me, you will obey me.
Those are not necessarily words that 7 and 5 and 3-year-olds like to hear. I know it because we talk about it in our house all the time. In fact, They get really tired when Dad sings this little song, "All You Have to Do Is Obey, If You Want to Have a Really Good Day." But it's true, friend. That's the joy of this. And that's why this truth is so uncontainable this week. As we love God, as we seek after Him, as we, in the ways we best understand, obey what He calls us to, then there is a whole better, different kind of life on the other side that's waiting for us. So don't put it off. Run to Him. Dr. Tony Evans can be reached on Twitter at Dr. Tony Evans. TonyEvans.org is his website, and he's leading a trip to Israel with Salem Communications this fall. You might want to check that out. At Greg Laurie is how you reach the pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel in Illinois, harvest.org. And at InTouchMen at InTouch.org. More questions can be answered at Christianity.com and OnePlace.com. I'm Kevin McCullough, trying to tell you about an uncontainable truth.